Unlike the many kisses of Catullus 5 and 7, Poem 99 holds only one surprise kiss that ends in painful rejection. Having been falsely led on through teasing, dumb ludis, Catullus makes a move and is left to pay for the mistake. Terribly dissatisfied and crucified like a slave to a rather misread love. In this poem, Catullus leaves himself to hang before his youthful beloved in a pitiful hyperbolic apology. Now, it is important to note that this kiss was not taken from Lesbia, but from a boy named Juventius, a certainly surprising discovery for a more modern audience. To offer some background, Juventius, a native of Verona, had been placed in Catullus's guardianship whilst living in Rome. He was also a boy, most likely in his teens, that Catullus may have had sexual relations with. Knowing that Catullus would pursue such a young person, let alone a young boy, is quite revolting. In this age, certainly the man would be jailed and marked as a pedophile. However, in ancient Rome, things were a tad bit different. First of all, Catullus's poem would fall under a common theme of pederasty, sexual activity involving a man and a boy, defined as today. However, in ancient times, pederasty was accepted as an ideal relationship and a tradition, often informal, rather than a crime. Oftentimes excused as an educational experience. Of course, acceptance of this changed over time. Nevertheless, such a relation involved the pursuer and the pursued being a freeborn youth like Juventius, whose name literally implies youth. The pursued took the role of the beloved, a youth that a man such as Catullus desired, striving for their beauty. In Greek literature as well as in Roman literature, themes of pederasty revolved around the rebuke from the beloved person in reaction to rejected advances, robbing their partner of their youth. As long as Catullus continually acted as a dominant male within his society, any sexual acts he committed with the married Lesbia, or his acts of pederasty with Juventius, would still allow him to remain respected. In ancient society, depending on their circumstances, same-sex interests would be pursued without particular repercussions. Now, before this poem is read, to fully flesh out the background of Catullus' and Juventius' relationship, there are quite a number of poems that you should know in Catullus' collection that explain this relationship. In poem 15, Catullus warns his friends Aurelius not to sleep with Juventius because, as clarified in poem 21, Aurelius wishes to sleep with anyone that Catullus happens to be friends with. Openly claiming Juventius, Catullus tells Aurelius to back off. This is the same against Catullus' friend Furius. In 23, Catullus claims Furius as a poor man, who in 24, Juventius is told not to associate with. Finally, in poem 81, addressed to Juventius, Catullus questions the boy's taste in men. How could he admire someone yellower than a gilded statue? And ask, who pleases you now, whom you dare to prefer to me, and do who knows what with? Catullus claims Juventius, but it seems as though Juventius does not reciprocate. Poem 99. Surepui tibi, dum ludis. Melite Juventi, suaviolum docai, docius, ambrosia, verum id non impune tuli, namque amplius horam, suffixum in summa, me memini esse cruce, dom tibi me pergo nec, possum fletibus ulis, tantilum, vestrae, demere saevitiae. Nam simo, id factum est, multis deluta libella gutis abstersisti omnibus articulis, ne quiquam nostro contractum ex ore maneret, tamquam comictae sperca saliva lupae. Praeteria infesto miserum me tradere amore, non cessasti omnique excruciare modo, aut me ex ambrosia mutatum iam foret illud suaviolum tristi tristius eleboro, quam coniam ponam misera proponis amori, numquam iam postac basia surepiam. I stole from you, while you were teasing me, my honey-sweet Juventius, a kiss more sweet than ambrosia. But I did not get away without punishment, and for more than an hour I remembered that I was being crucified on the highest cross. While to you I was apologizing, nor was I able to remove so little of your ferocity with any of my tears. For as soon as I kissed you, you had wiped clean your lips, having been washed by many a teardrop with all your fingers, lest anything contracted from my mouth should remain, just as if it were the foul spit of a filthy prostitute. Besides this, you did not cease to consign your wretched lover to desperate love and to torture in every way, so that for me the kiss, changed from ambrosia, now was more bitter than bitter hellbore. Because you proposed such a penalty for wretched love, never, now, hereafter, will I still a kiss. Although Catullus may come off frigidly formal, addressing Juventius, doing so only enhances his exaggerated pain, perhaps working to get a grip on the situation and move on. Although tortured by this event, Catullus remains eloquent while apologizing for his unsuccessful advance, while also making sure that his pain is recognized. By doing so, Catullus removes his dominance over the situation, and his beloved, Juventius, submitting himself to this youth. He says, "Any and all things that will keep Juventius at his side, going so far as to never again steal kisses." From the past kiss, signaled by Memini, consequences follow. Catullus is left impaled on the cross of Juventius's rejection. Amore, from line 10, can be taken as the god Amor. He becomes Catullus's torturer, summoned by Juventius's reproach. Catullus also viciously degrades himself, imagining the insults running through Juventius's mind, enticing sympathy through harsh hyperbolics. Comictae spirica saliva lupi. As Juventius undoes this kiss, Catullus states it is because he holds some kind of contagion. Again and again, Catullus lowers himself below Juventius when he should be superior. As a reader, we feel bad for him, witnessing this harsh reaction. How could Juventius be so cruel? But how else was Juventius to react? How would you react? Perhaps the boy didn't realize he was teasing Catullus. Perhaps it is simply his personality, and Catullus could not read the signs. Juventius's reaction shows that he did not want or expect a kiss, gaining dominance over Catullus. Catullus's object of desire rebukes him rather than following along, leaving Catullus to submit to Juventius's ferocity, saivitae, and perhaps becoming attracted to him all the more. In consequence, Catullus claims himself forever cured of his temptation to falsely kiss Juventius, or anyone, again, as doing so has become too bitter, as Elboro. After all, each kiss seems to be only a wish, an ignored request. Even when he does get the kiss, he is left in a state of suffering desire, not able to feel fulfilled. Nevertheless, it is important to note that while Catullus does not seem to show any shame in kissing a boy, he does feel shame for kissing him without consent, or at the very least, acts like he does. Perhaps finally realizing he does not have as much of a claim on the boy as he originally imagined, that he is not as beloved to the boy as the boy is to him. Nevertheless, he can't bring himself to lose the youth, working in an act of desperation to bring the beauty of youth before him once again.